Come on, somebody. Anybody ready for some open doors in your life? That's what they're all worshiping right now. And right now they're talking about that. Now you got Rosh Hashanah, and also they're also starting the Feast of the Trumpets, where they go and blow the shofar horn like 100 times and all that. It's really cool. They blow the shofar horn. It's just, if they blow it 100 times, or 99 short ones and a long one. It's really cool how they do that. But the thing is we need to just learn some of these things and understand some of these things. And I want to periodically try to teach you some of that, because we at Kingdom Impact, we want to understand God's word from the Hebraic roots. We want to understand it the way Jesus understood it. What did he do? Why did he worship on this day? Why did he do that? Because we have an open door this year for us. Now, there's all kind of doors. There's bathroom doors. There's bedroom doors. There's front doors. There's back doors. There's school doors. There's office doors. There's revolving doors. There's elevator doors. There's church doors. You know, there's just doors everywhere. But every door is an access to another area. Okay? And we need to understand that's an access to another area. And that God opens doors for us. And God closes doors for us. But also, we need to understand that also at the same time, the devil opens doors for us. And he tries to make it look all nice and pretty inside that door. You know, if you look all the way back with Abraham and Isaac, when they were sitting there, and they said, hey, you know, this side is plush and this side is kind of barren, but what side do you take? And you know, Abraham took the lesser side, right? And so the thing is that sometimes it may look good, but that does not mean that that's the best place. Sometimes you got to give up the good for the great. Sometimes there's something better out there for you, but you got to give up something, what you got, or what you think is good. You know, it's kind of like, you know, what is it? The Price is Right. Door number 1, 2, and 3, you know. Here's $5,000, or you can go for this door, you know. And it's a gamble. But with God, it's never a gamble. It's only a gamble when you go through Satan's door. God will make a way for us where there seems to be no way. We quote that all the time. But when there seems to be no way, but that way he makes is through a door. He puts a door somewhere. And he gives us the strength to walk through those doors. And when he closes a door, we should not try to put our foot in there and keep it open. Because that's a foothold, right? We talked about that before. And the enemy tries, and that's what the enemy tries to do. If we don't put our foot there and try to keep it open because we want to be in this room, the enemy will put his foot in there and try to keep it open so you can always go back in that room. And when God closes that door, make sure you're on the other side of that door so you don't get locked on the inside. Alexander Graham Bell said this beautifully. He said, when one door closes, another one opens. But we often look so long and regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the one that has opened for us. Sometimes we mourn for what we lost, and we're missing all the beauty that God has before us. We're sitting there in the morning, but that was good. It was a good time in my life. You know, I'm losing this job, or I'm losing this, or I'm losing that, or that door's closed on me. I thought that was going to be where my ticket was going to be. And we got our back turned, and the whole time, God's like, but turn around. You went through that door. Now look at all the great things that you have. Scripture talks about the door a lot in Scripture. I got some of them for John. I don't have all of them, but I'm going to give you a few here at the beginning. John 10:1 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up over the way, the same is a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber. So it's saying, Jesus is the way. And if you're trying to get in and get the blessings of God some other way, you're a thief and a robber. That's not the way to get it. John 10:2. But he that entereth by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. John 10:7. Then said Jesus to them again, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I mentioned this briefly at one point. Whenever you're in Israel and you have all these sheep, they put these gates all around everywhere, all these fences up. And then there's an entranceway right here with no gate. The shepherd would lay in the gate. He would physically lay in the gate. He was the gate. He was the door. So anything that tried to come in and harm those sheep, they would have to go across the gate, the door, the shepherd. Okay? That's true. And that's what Jesus is saying here. I'm the door of the sheep. Anything that tries to harm you has got to come through me. Right? And so he lays at that gate, and we are all inside, and he's protecting us. The gate, the shepherd, is a protector of those. John 10:9 says, I am the door. by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The only way you can come to God is through Jesus, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So I want to talk to you really quickly about seven doors. I'm not going to stay long because I know there's some other things that we wanted to do, but this is more important right here. The open door of freedom. That's the first thing. The first door that I want to talk about is the open door of freedom. Acts 16:26 says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's hands were loosed." This is when Paul and Silas were in prison, and they were praising. They were in shackles and chains, right? And they would begin to worship God. And as they begin to worship God, a door opened. So a lot of times doors open when you begin to worship. You're shackled. You're bound. If you begin to praise God and magnify God, then all of a sudden doors become and they open up for you. And so it says doors are open. What kind of stuff was open? He wants you to have freedom in your worship. He wants you to have freedom in your finances. He wants you to have freedom in your spirit, in your walk, and in your talk, and in your everyday life. He wants you to have that freedom. Okay? But he wants you also to be free from some things. He wants you to be free to some things, but he wants you to be free from some things. He wants you to be free from sin. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Every time you sin, the only time he will not forgive you is when you do not ask. He will always forgive you. He wants you to be free from sin. He wants you to walk through the doors out of your sinful life into your new life. Number two, a temptation. He wants you to be free from temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has taken you but such as common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be greater than you can bear without making a way to escape." That is what he's saying is, when the temptation gets great, look for the door. I'll have a door. You never are tempted to sin in any manner that God has not provided a door for you not to sin. Every time. That scripture right there proves it. I'll make it a way so you'll be able to bear it. But what happens? We ignore the door and we take door number two. And we take the sinful route. And God's like, "Listen, that's on you." I can't stop sinning. Oh, there's a door. Every time you sin, there's a door of escape. Every time. Number three, the other thing he wants you free from is sickness and disease. Jeremiah 30:17, "For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord." By his stripes, we are healed. He has a door of healing. The door is already open for our healing. By his stripes, we are healed. It didn't say might be, could be, probably be. It says you are healed. He on Calvary, he took stripes on his back for our healing. He took stripes on his back as a door for us to walk through and trust God for our healing. Number four, he wants you to be free from poverty. The thief come to kill, steal, and destroy, but he says, I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So the thing is he's saying, I don't want you in poverty. I want you to have an abundant life, abundant in blessings, abundant in joy, abundant in peace, abundant. But we walk around in poverty because we become victims rather than victors. We walk around with our head down and it's all, look at me, look what I'm going through, look what I've done, look at this, I'm so that, look what they did to me, this and that. And we walk around in a pity party rather than walking around in triumphant victory. Number two, the second door is a door for effective ministry. 1 Corinthians 16:9. This was the scripture that was spoken over us when we first opened this church 8 years ago almost. "For the great effective door of ministry is open unto me, but there are many adversaries." Anytime you try to minister, anytime you try to do something for God with a pure heart and a pure mind and a pure spirit, there's going to be adversaries that are against you. Do you know that even when you're doing ministry, people are jealous of you? Do you know whenever you're doing ministry, people still hate you because you're succeeding? They hate you when you're succeeding, when you're doing successful things, when you're doing stuff for God. Do you know other churches sometimes feel that way? Sometimes other pastors feel that way. And that is wrong. That is not how it's supposed to be. There's many, and you know, like we got enough haters already without having the church and pastors and Christians hating on you too. Well, we got to worry. I told somebody the other day when I was talking, I'm trying my best to share it as much as I can. I told somebody the other day, I said, we're on the same side. Matter of fact, I was with somebody else's sheep the other day, and I ministered to them, and I called that person up and told them. I said, hey, man, I saw one of your sheep the other day, and I didn't want you to know I just loved all on them. I wasn't trying to get them. I was just trying to encourage them for you, and I know you would do the same thing for me. That person said, hey, man, thank you, Doug. I said, pray, amen, we're on the same team, brother. You know, I wasn't even dreaming. Well, maybe if I really speak prophetically, maybe they'll come to the church. That's not how it works. We're supposed to love one another and care them. But there's a ministry, but there's all kind of haters that are against you. They don't want to see you succeed. They don't want to see you minister and see people's lives change because of you. You know why? Because they're miserable and they want you to be miserable. And then if they can't make you miserable, they'll do everything they can to drag you down. They'll talk about you. They'll jeer at you. They'll do all these things. Ministry can be difficult, but there's a door of effective ministry. And that's what you got to remember. There's a great door of effective ministry here. And I can't let the haters and opposers and all these other people come up against me. Romans 8:31 says, what shall you say to all these things? If God be for me, who can be against me? And you got to quote that. When you got all these people coming against you, you got to say that. If God be for me, who be against me? Nobody, because God's on your side. You're walking in the spirit, not in the flesh, and God's on your side. You ain't got to worry about nobody else. For so many years, I worried about everybody. For so many years, I worried about other people and what they thought of me and how, you know, this and that and the other. Do they like me? You know what? I got to please God. And that's all that matters. And if you're pleasing God, then nobody else in your life matters as far as what they think about you. Also, we know greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, right? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God not only wants you to have faith, but he wants you to have works of faith. You just can't say, I got faith, I believe, and then do nothing. If you really believe, there's action that comes with that belief. And if there is no action, then you don't believe. If I had a trust fall, if I had Jason come up here and I said, hey, just fall back in my arms. Oh, do you trust me, Jason? Yeah, I trust you. Now follow my arms in. I don't know. You don't trust me. We got to trust God. The next one is a door of, open door of preaching. 2 Corinthians 2 and 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas, this is Paul said, to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was open unto me of the Lord. Not just doors for preachers. Yes, there's door, that scripture's for me, that there's going to be doors of opportunity for me to be able to speak and preach, but it's also doors for you to speak. Maybe you're called to speak. Maybe you're called to minister as well. There's doors for you as well. That's just not just for preachers. The next one, number four, is a door of witness. Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit to come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, and to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jerusalem is in like my little home where I'm at, in my home. Judea is in my town. Samaria is in my state or states. And to the uttermost parts of the earth is to the whole world. You know, but so you got to minister to your world. Where is your world at? Wherever you go every day. You ain't got to come into my world. If you do, and then we minister together. But your world is wherever you go in your path that day. That's your world. You're supposed to be ministering and preaching to everybody you see. Well, that's just not me, Pat. Well, you know what? It needs to be you. You need to have the love of the Lord in your life enough to care about someone that's going to hell and say, you know what? I love you enough to maybe smile at you today, to encourage you today. You ain't got to preach. You ain't got to pull out your Bibles. Let me just tell you. Let me read some scripture to you. And they're sitting there like, what are you doing? Who are you? Yeah, I don't know you. You know, they're terrified, you know. He gave us a commission to the whole world, Matthew 28:18. This is for everybody. This is all of us. The Great Commission. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Just don't get people saved and say, hey, hope you make it. Get disciples into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you to the end of the earth or the age. The next one. This one is for all of you as well. The next open door, the fifth one, is open door of opportunity. Revelations 3 and 8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before you an open door that no man can shut. For thou hast little strength, but thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. It's saying there's an open door that he cannot shut. So it says you're a little weak. You may not get all, go all the way through the door yet, but as long as you're trying and you're keeping my word and you're keeping my name, I got you. I'm going to keep this door open for you. I'm not going to let it shut on you. God opens doors sometimes that no matter how hard somebody else in your life, the haters, they want to shut, they cannot. It's permanently open for you, not for everybody else. It's permanently open for you. It's a door for you to go through. It's a door that he's designed for you. And he's like, you know what? Man, this is tailor-made for your size. Just go through this door and enjoy all that I have for you. And when you feel weak, and you feel weak, and you're like, I don't know if I can go through that door, Lord. You got to proclaim Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Then the next door is for all of us as well. It's an open door of worship. Revelations 4:1. After I looked, this is John, the Revelator, said, After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And then it goes on to say, and immediately I found myself in the throne room. So there's a door of ocean. Matter of fact, from now on, I've talked and I've already made a decision that from now on, our worship nights, every worship night from now on, we're going to go ahead. You know how like we do Operation Warm Hands and Feet? That's our logo. That's our thing. We're going to make one, and we're just going to call it Kingdom Impact Open Heaven. So that way, you ain't got to talk about the church or anything. Say, hey, you coming to Open Heaven tomorrow night? Where at Kingdom Impact, you know, whatever. But it's just Open Heaven. And we want everybody to come. Last time we talked about it before, we had 4 or 5 churches here. We want people to come to this house and soak it in and leave and go back to that church and squeeze it out. You know, we just want to be that hub. We want to be that little hub. We want to be that place where they can just come and soak it in and go. It's not about us. It's about God. And it's about them going back and taking what they received and blessing other people with it. We don't contain it. We don't own it. We're only a conduit of it. And God is doing something supernatural through our worship team. I don't know if you've seen it or not or understand it or not, but God is doing something through our worship. And so I want to capitalize on that when I see it. And we're just going to have open heaven, because the last two weeks that we had, last two worship nights we had, there was definitely 100% that moment where there was an open heaven, to where if a phone rang, nobody twitched. Somebody could have walked through the back door with a gun. Everybody like, God, take care of that. I'm out. Seriously, it's where your flesh dies. Nothing distracts you. When you're in His presence, but something can still maybe grab your attention. It's harder, but when you're in the glory of God and that open heaven comes, man, you are just in a serene peace and nothing matters at all. And that's where we're at. And that's what God is doing. Matter of fact, I was with Pastor Tammy. She was at our last worship night. And she said, you know what? She said, I'll be honest with you. It was a beautiful night. But then towards the end, they started really pushing through. She said, and Mike wouldn't get, he just kept pushing into the presence of God. And she said, I'll be honest with you. I felt more of the tangible presence of God than I have in a really, really long time. That's our worship team. And Tammy goes to all kinds of churches. She sees people all the time. She's got a great worship team herself at the church she goes to. But she's like, you know what? I felt it. I felt something there at Kingdom Impact that I haven't felt before in a long time. We need to, next one, that's not the next one, but we need to walk through that day of worship daily. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. We need to sing and make melody in our heart every day, don't we, Mr. Lords? Amen. Every day we need to make that melody in our heart and that joy. Number 6, and I'm almost, well, I am done. It's 7. I can't read no, I got Roman numerals on here like an idiot for some reason. And I'm like, is that a 6, a 7, or a 4? I can't. Somebody remind me next Saturday or this Tuesday when I study just to use numbers. I try to be fancy and read just Roman numerals. The last one is the open door of salvation. That door is always open. That door never closes. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand, talking about God, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, it don't matter who you are. It don't matter who you are. I will come into him. I will sup with him and he with me. That's the most important door. And we need to whenever we're out there, one of the most important jobs in here, we got the greeter outside of the door, out there in the parking lot. But another great important one is one who's opening the door right there at the church. You are opening a door of opportunity for people to come in for salvation, for deliverance, for healing. And when you do, when you're opening it up for everybody, you're going to have all kinds. You may walk through here and smell weed one day. You may walk through here and see somebody with track needles. You may see somebody looks different, dresses different, someone who acts different. But thank God they're in the house of God. I used to have a pastor, and I would say, "Pastor, man, I got some crack balls Wednesday night." I said, "Dude, I'm so excited I can't stand it." He's like, "What?" He's actually legal. I said, "But you know what? They are at the house of God and they gave it to the altar." I had a big old one night. I was talking about giving up all your stuff, and the kids, there was all kind of crack, all kind of mess all over the floor down here. I was like, "Dear Jesus, I hope nobody comes in here. I'm going to go to jail. It's all on my side. They're going to think it's mine. I laid it down here." They would do vile stuff all over the bathroom walls, take personal private part stuff and put it on. And I said, "Pastor, there's mess all over it." He's like, "What?" I said, "Man, I'm so excited I can't stand it." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because they're in the house of God." He said, "To cause them trouble." I said, "There's a hole in the wall, Pastor." I said, "Man, I'm so excited." He's like, "Are you doing this so I won't be mad?" I said, "No, I'm doing it because God is glad." They could be out there in this world smoking and doping and cracking and whoring around, doing all these other things, all this stuff out in the world. But no, they're in the house of God. And when we open that door, we're opening up to them, and we're going to love on them, and we're going to care for them. And it's a door of salvation for them. So yeah, it may smell different, look like different. It don't matter. I'm just like, that's ministry. That's ministry. That's ministry. That looks like ministry. And it may be a ministry that you're not comfortable with, but that's okay. You can let other people handle that part of the ministry, but you can say, "God, I care. Bless them, Jesus. Help them. Save them. Deliver them. Set them free." That's the very reason why the very first time Jason ever came to the church, I said, "When you come to the church, come down to the very front row and hug my neck." Nobody knows this. I didn't even tell Jason why I did that. But because Jason, man, he's been in jail a million times. He's got tats all over his face. He scares people sometimes. But he's the most gentle giant you'll ever see in your entire life. He's a man of God. He's changed. So why? He's different. If there's ever been a man that I've seen that's been delivered from all kind of everything, not just drugs, everything, is him. So I had him come down to me so that way, because I didn't want nobody to judge him. So if he came down and hugged the pastor, then everybody knows the pastor knows him, so everybody knows that he's okay. And so that's why I wanted him to come down. I want you to come hug me first. As soon as you get in, come hug me. Because I didn't want anybody to treat him any differently. I wanted you to love on him. And when you saw that I accepted him, then you accepted him. But now, I don't got to get nobody to hug me. Now y'all just accept people. Because you know that's who we are. We're just going to accept people. We're going to love people. There's an open door right there. There needs to be an open door in your life to minister to those kind of people. To love people that are different than you. Get out of your little comfort box, your little comfort zone, and start trying to talk to someone that ain't like you. Because you know what? They're going to be in heaven. People that ain't like you. That don't look like you, don't smell like you, don't act like you, that ain't got hygiene like you do. They're all going to be in heaven. Talk to the Baptists. They're going to be in heaven. We act like, "Well, y'all don't know about the Holy Ghost." No, we're all going to go to heaven. Jesus, help me. So, how do I know if it's a door from God? And I'm done. And then Craig can come embarrass me. How do I know the door is from God? Number one, it will never contradict God's word. Number two, it will require you to depend on Him. You will have to trust Him to go through that door. Number three, He will give you confirmation through prayer, through godly counsel, through Scripture, or through circumstances. You'll get. By Scripture says that it will be confirmed by the mouth of two or three. And then lastly, it will have peace. You will have peace. Sorry, you will have that peace. God, I know this is the door for me. So many of you in this room, have doors that are before you, and you're like, I don't know what to do. Just begin to pray and ask God, show me what doors for me. Open the right door, close the wrong door. Make it idiot-proof for me. God, can you just let one door be open today, God? I'm having a hard time understanding. I'm even having a hard time trusting today. Can you let just one door be open today? Tomorrow you can give me, I'll be more spiritual tomorrow, hopefully, and you can give me several doors. But today, I need direction. I need not just direction, I need guidance through the right door. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. The door I need to go through is the door of salvation. I need to ask God to forgive me for my sins and come into my heart and cleanse me. Anybody at all want to receive Christ and ask Christ to come into your heart and forgive you for your sins? Anybody at all? Raise your hand real quickly. Okay, who would just raise their hand and say, Pastor Doug, there's doors in front of me and I'm struggling to understand what door to go through? Or you're saying, Pastor Doug, I'm looking for a door and I don't see one. But God, help me to go, pray that I would go through the right door, choose the right door, and follow God's will, and do what God's called me to do. Anybody at all want to raise your hand for that? Say, help me find the right door, Lord. It's doors, and help me to walk through the right door. Amen. 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 Heavenly Father, I thank you right now, and I just pray that effective doors of opportunity and ministry will be open to everybody in this room. A door for deliverance from poverty, a door for deliverance in their relationships, a door for deliverance in their finances, in their house and their home and the relationships, God, in every part of their life, God, in the name of Jesus. Open that door. Let them see it, God. Make it very clear to them, very plain to them. And we thank you for that door. And God, we celebrate Rosh Hashanah right now. Some people in here just probably look at it on the calendar. It's like, oh, okay, that's Rosh Hashanah. I don't know what that is, but it's good. But God, we celebrate it today as the head of the Hebrew calendar, the Jewish year. We celebrate that today, God, and we thank you, God, that you are bringing in, God, some great things for us through the new door this year. Help us to seek more about your faith, God, and what you had and how you lived and what you celebrated and why you celebrated the way you did, so we can better understand who you are and better understand your word more. And we're going to give you praise and glory. And we thank you, God, for everybody in this house today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You're a big deal to me and a bigger deal to God. And I'm going to let Craig.